I can be an awesome mom and I can be awesome at my job. I can be awesome at both. And because I feel like sometimes as women, we feel like we choose, we're like, oh, it's just a season where I'm not being a great mom, but I'm good at work. And, or sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not working as much, so I'm a better mom. And so it's just like kind of this attitude of like, you can be great at both.
This is the L3 Leadership Podcast, episode number 201. What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the L3 Leadership Podcast. My name is Doug Smith, and I am your host. I hope you're doing well. In today's episode, you'll hear our interview with Rachel Cruz. Rachel is the number one New York Times bestselling author and host of The Rachel Cruz Show, where she helps people learn the proper ways to handle money and stay out of debt. She's authored 3 bestselling books, including Love Your Life, Not Theirs, and Smart Money, Smart Kids, which she co-wrote with her father, Dave Ramsey. In the interview, you'll hear Rachel's advice to working moms, what she's learned about leadership and business while working at Ramsey Solutions. We go through her recent book, and we take her through our lightning round questions. And I can just say you're going to love this interview, and you're going to love Rachel. She's very energetic and charismatic and has a ton of wisdom. And so get ready for that. But before we dive in, just a brief announcement. I want to thank our sponsor, Alex Tulandon. Alex is a full-time realtor with Keller Williams Realty. And if you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Pittsburgh market, Alex is your guy. He is a member and a supporter of L3 Leadership and would love to have an opportunity to connect with you. You can learn more about Alex at PittsburghPropertyShowcase.com. With that being said, let's dive right into the interview with Rachel, and I'll be back at the end with a few announcements. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for being willing to do this interview. And just to start, why don't you just give a broad overview of who you are and what you do for everyone listening?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I am a financial expert and I work at Ramsey Solutions. And most people know me as Dave Ramsey's daughter. So I grew up in a household where money was talked about and taught, and something that I was so thankful for later in life, realizing that that was not the norm for a lot of people. And I really believe I was able to avoid so many money mistakes because of the knowledge that my parents empowered me and my siblings with. And so when I graduated from college, I remember talking to my mom and dad, and I was like, I want to just travel the country and talk to high school students and college students about how to be wise with their money, because that's the pivotal time. If you can learn about money early on, then you can, like me, avoid so many money mistakes. And so that was kind of my adventure and my work for many years. And now that I'm married, I have kids, my message has kind of come along with me. And so I don't speak as much to the youth anymore, but I get to go on the road and do events. And I have a show called The Rachel Cruz Show on YouTube and do interviews like this and write books and everything regards to money.
That's awesome. I am curious. So you said you are known as Dave Ramsey's daughter, but because of that, I'm just curious, what do you wish people knew about you and specifically the journey to get to where you are that they may not know?
I think a lot of people assume a lot of things when they hear that. So they probably assume, oh, of course she's working there. You know, she'd go work for the family business. But what a lot of people don't know is I remember sitting down with mom and dad when we had that conversation, and dad told me straight up, he said, it's going to be harder to come into this company and work because you're going to have to work twice as hard as everyone else just to establish the credibility that you're not getting a free pass. And so it probably will just be easier if you went and worked somewhere else, kind of thing. So the truth of me working in the family business is I so am passionate and believe in this message of hope, of giving people a plan with their money. So that's probably one thing people don't assume. And then some other people assume that I'm just rich because my parents have done well. And I always think that's so funny because from the moment, you know, I started working at like age 5, I was always on commission, not allowance. I'm like, I've had to work for everything. And I'm like, do people think that he sends me like secret checks in the mail or something? I'm like, No. My husband and I, we have to work and budget just like everyone else. So that's probably another assumption people have.
I love that. Did you like the commission structure now that you're a parent? Is that something that you'll implement as well?
Yes.
Can you talk about that for parents listening?
Yeah, totally. So mom and dad, they had a set of chores for us that we did just because we were part of the family and we didn't get paid. So there is those chores. And for us growing up, it was like the kitchen. So we were never paid on chores around the kitchen. We were expected to put our dishes in the dishwasher or clean the pots and pans as we got older, you know, all of that. But there were chores around the house that we did that we would get paid on. So if you did the work, you got money. But if you didn't do the work, you didn't get paid, versus just being handed, you know, a $5 bill every time we asked for money. We literally had to work for it. And we had three envelopes, and one was give, one was save, one was spend. And when we got paid once a week on the chores we did through the week, we put a certain percentage in giving, a certain percentage in saving, and then spending as well. So we lived with those principles for so long. And I really am. I think it's such an easy thing for parents to implement. Tactically, it's a little bit hard because you have to keep up with everything. It's like another thing to keep up with kids, you know, keeping like money on hand and cash on hand, because we, you know, we don't use cash anymore as much in our society. But it just gives this correlation of where money comes from. And your kids learn very early on that money comes from work. It doesn't come from mom and dad's back pocket. And because of that, that foundation was laid. And I'm so thankful for it. So it's a great tip for parents out there.
I love that. And you're a mom of two now, two girls. And actually, my wife and I just had our second girl as well.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Sophia Charlotte. So born May 7th. So
my gosh, you have like our family name. Sophia was on our list. And then Charlotte is my husband's sister's name. And his grandparents or his grandmother and all of that. Yeah.
So and our first one was Olivia. Any Olivias in the family?
Oh my gosh, no. Okay, but Amelia. Okay.
That was on our. That's in our list still. So
yes, and then we had Caroline, Victoria, which are both family names. So we kind of like the old school ish. So yeah, that's fun. Those are beautiful. That's great.
Yeah. So you're in a similar position. So you're a working mom. My wife's actually about to go back to work next Wednesday. So
for
the second time. Yeah. And so I'm just curious, what are you learning about work-life balance and being a working mom?
Yeah, I've learned, I feel like, a lot. I think one of the things that we say a lot around Ramsey Solutions is that work-life balance is like crap. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, you're never going to have a season where everything, life is perfectly balanced between, you know, work and spiritual time. And then you get to read a book for your intellect, and then you can work out. And then, you know, you have family time and friendships. It's like this perfect little pie every single day of every week of every month of every year. It's not going to happen. Like, there's going to be seasons, even chunks of months, sometimes even people a year or two, where some things are just not balanced. And for me, I've kind of just embraced that. So honestly, during the summer, it's my downtime. I don't travel in the summer. So I soak up every moment I can with my girls. And there's a day or two I'll be home and not in the office. And I protect that time like no one's business. I'm always like, no, this is my time, because I know coming in a few weeks in the fall, I'm going to be gone, you know, 6, 7, 8 events. And then I'll have some downtime during the holidays and then back up in the spring. So my calendar ebbs and flows. And so I really have to take advantage of that. And my friend Christy Wright always says that life balance is not about being 50-50. It's about being 100% present.
That's good.
And I love that. And so that's another piece of advice I've taken on, is that when I'm home, I'm home. And I'm with my girls, and I'm in the floor playing, and we're eating dinner together as a family. You know, it's those things, that your presence there. And then another kind of kick I've heard a few moms talking about recently, which I appreciate. I don't know if I've like emotionally gone here yet, but one of my friends was like, I can be an awesome mom, and I can be awesome at my job. I can be awesome at both. And because I feel like sometimes as women, we feel like we choose, we're like, oh, it's just a season where I'm not being a great mom, but I'm good at work. And, or sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not working as much, so I'm a better mom. And so it's just like kind of this attitude of like, you can be great at both. And so I don't know if I've given myself the permission to like fully embrace that emotionally. I probably need to, but I love that idea. I kind of strive for that in my mind, that I can be a great mom and be really great at my job.
Do you ever, I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts on, I don't know if you have, what did I write that, mommy guilt? But you know, those seasons where you are busy and it's just like you're going, even though you're 100% in, how do you deal with that emotionally? Do you have any advice for moms who may deal with the same thing?
Yeah, of course I deal with that. And it's hard, and it is. And especially when your kids get old enough where they can talk and they're like, mom, you know, don't leave. You know what I mean? It just, it breaks your heart. But what I'm so thankful for is that the why behind I go to work. And for me at this point, my why is that I get to help people and I really enjoy it. I love what I do. And as a result of that, I feel like I'm able to help a lot of the people because I am so excited about my work. And so I think understanding the why behind, and some moms, they're going back to work to get out of debt. And that's your why. And that's a very noble why. You know, some moms are going back because they just need some time, because they just feel like, okay, if I have a little bit of break every now and then, I'm a better mom. And that's their why. So I think focusing on your why, or even, you know, to keep you know, the bills coming in, or to keep, you know, a great income for the family, whatever it is, to focus on the why. And that's big.
That's great. Since the last time we talked to you, you've also written another book. So Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Can you just give us an overview? What is the book about? Why did you write it? And maybe share one key takeaway that you want people to take home.
Yes, Love Your Life, Not Theirs is mostly about comparison living and how we compare ourselves to everyone. And keeping up with the Joneses today now is on our phones and our back pockets. Like, we carry the Joneses around with us everywhere. And with social media, you just have this glimpse, this picture into everyone else's life and their lifestyle and what they're eating and what vacations they're on, what new car they're getting, if they got a promotion at work. I mean, it's just constantly in front of you. And you see the best parts of everyone's life. You know, it's not the parts that are hard or you don't look great on a picture. You're probably not going to post that. Like, we don't see those pictures. We just see the best parts for most of the time. And so when you're comparing your life to that, you really feel like you're missing out on something because your life feels so normal and can almost seem boring compared to other people's. And so people end up spending money, and sometimes money they don't have, to keep up that lifestyle that they think everyone else is living and they're missing out on. And that's a cycle of not just debt, but discontentment, not being intentional with your money. All these good habits that you need to win financially are just gone when comparison creeps in. And so, you know, especially the beginning of the book, I talked through 7 money habits to setting your life up to win and setting your life up to a life you love. And one of those habits is to quit the comparisons. And then we also talk about, I talk about budgeting and getting out of debt and saving and talking with your spouse about money and getting on the same page. So all of these good habits to get yourself in a place financially where not only you don't really care about the Joneses anymore, but also that you are happy and building a life that you love.
I love that. So I'll include a link in the show notes, encourage everyone to buy a copy and read it and share it with a friend. Something else you also started, which you already mentioned, was the Rachel Cruze Show, which I was fired up when I saw that you launched this. I mean, did you always dream of being Oprah when you were little, or what was, you know, what's the show about? How can people connect and why are you doing it?
Yes. Yeah. The show is really, it is kind of a dream come true in a sense. I did a video blog for many years, just me and a camera and a tripod basically. And it kind of grew a little bit throughout the years, but this was a place that I was like, okay, we can really have a long, longer content form, because it's about a 30-minute, each episode's about 30 minutes, and have a fun set and have multiple cameras and have guests in and all that. So it's a fun show. So it's all geared around money, but there is a lifestyle element to it. So it's everything from tips on grocery shopping, when you go to Target, which I call the black hole of goodness. It's just wonderful. You know, from everything from there to communicating with your spouse about money to, buying a car, getting insurance, your house, decorating your house. I mean, anything in regards to money we talk about on the show, and it's been so, so fun, and a lot of great response. So people are enjoying it, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah. And where can people tune in again?
Yeah. On YouTube. So my YouTube channel, or on Facebook. We've actually put it on Facebook as well.
Excellent. And I have to ask, I know it's geared around money, but I asked Ken Coleman the same thing. Do you have any, who's on your bucket list of people to interview and or host on the show?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. You know, we go topically, and honestly, today we did a show about being a minimalist, like how to get rid of a bunch of stuff. And we actually had the minimalists on. They were in Nashville taping. They did the documentary. I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix. It's so great. So that was a fun kind of, it fit in just with exactly what the topic we wanted. So yeah, that was fun. I mean, I would love to have, I could think of like actresses and authors and like, yeah, I mean, just anyone.
That's awesome. All right. I do want to ask just on the leadership side of things. So you talked about how your dad's advice was, hey, if you work here, you're going to have to work twice as hard. Yeah. I am just curious, what have you learned as a result of being on staff at Ramsey Solutions about business and leadership that maybe you didn't know come before you came on board?
I would say what I didn't know before coming on board, that leadership's hard. I think it can sound very glamorous to people. And they're like, oh, that's so great. You know, and I sit on our operating board as well, but just being in those meetings, we have 3-hour meetings every Monday morning, and sitting with those leaders and seeing the decisions they have to make on a business side, and sometimes on a personal side, you know, with a team member, wow, an issue that's come up. It's a lot of work and a lot of stress, and it's not easy. And I think for so long, I didn't give my dad probably the credit that he deserves running this company. You know, I'm like, oh, it's fine. You just go to work. and probably just have fun, right? But when you step into a leadership role, you have a lot of responsibility. And so I would say that's probably it. That's probably what I've learned the most, is that it's so much harder than I probably ever thought it would be.
Yeah, and that kind of segues into my next question, but you have an opportunity to be around some of the greatest leaders in the world, your dad, everyone that comes into your guys' organization, the leaders in your organization. And again, not that they're at their finish line, but they've led well for a long time. And I'm just curious, as you interact with those kind of leaders, are there one or two characteristics that you just see over and over again that allow that of people that God uses in a significant way?
I would say number one, integrity. Most people that are incredible leaders that you see, they have incredible integrity. Like they do what they say they're going to do. And this whole idea that every CEO is some guy in a glass office and he's greasy and nasty and is a bad guy and, you know, all that. That's true. There's those people out there. But your leaders that make an influence, man, they have high levels of integrity. I would say that. And I would also say they're fighters. They don't just sit back and let things happen. Like they get in the fight and they push for what they want. And I see that a lot in my dad. I think of Christine Kane. She's a women's leader. She's a preacher, teacher. She has all these organizations. She's one of my favorite women right now in life. And I watch her and I'm like, man, she's just a fighter. Like they fight for what they want. And I love that. There's humility in that as well, right? It's not an arrogance, but it's a passion that they so believe in what they're doing that no one's going to get in their way. And I love that. Because that doesn't always come natural to me. I am bold in a sense and I have my opinions, but I look at that, I'm like, wow, I have a lot I can learn from that to just be even more bold.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I don't know if you answer this or not, but I know you guys follow the DISC profile in your organization.
Yeah, yeah. And
do you find that those leaders are typically Ds, right? Because those are general traits of a D. They're bold. They fight for their ideas. Or have you found your organization that pretty much any personality type can lead if they choose to?
Any personality type, yeah. Your Ds are going to be louder in the sense, but I've met Ss and Cs. And like I think about my husband, he's a C and he's running this huge project for us, moving buildings and all of that. And I'm like, he will get crap done, but he does it a little bit quieter. Yeah. But man, he'll send those emails and he's not rude, but he gets stuff done. And I'm like, man, and he won't shout it. Almost never, no one will really know even those emails were sent to that architect or that designer or that contractor, but it's like, he gets stuff done. So no, I would say every personality, it's different styles, but they all have that fight and that grit in them.
I love that.
Yeah.
With the time that we have left, I want to dive into what I call the lightning round, just a bunch of fun questions that I like to ask leaders.
Okay.
The first one would just be, what is one belief or question one belief or behavior that's changed your life?
That's changed my life. Oh my goodness. Oh gosh. That's a big one. faith would come, that's a life-changing thing for me. Following Jesus, I'd say for sure. That would be life-changing. I mean, I can think of like getting up early and having coffee by myself helps me every day. So like there's that element or faith. You can go which one.
Yeah, my wife's the same way. I mean, we're both morning people. If she doesn't get that time before her day begins, yeah.
Yes, I know, I know.
So good. If you could put a quote on a billboard for everyone to read, what would it say?
I would gear towards my work because I love our message. So I would say, take control of your money and create a life you love.
Love it. What's the best purchase in the last year that you've made for $100 or less?
I think it was like $20, but I got a new iPhone case because I dropped my iPhone for the first time and it cracked. Like I dropped my iPhone all the time and I had this one case for so long and I dropped it and my screen cracked and I said never again. So I bought this like hardcore case and it's been, awesome. I love it.
Fantastic. Did you buy it at Target?
Yes, I actually did. Yeah.
There you go.
The black hole. Yeah, got the iPhone case out of it.
Are they a sponsor of the Rachel Cruze Show yet?
I'm trying. I'm Seriously? Trying with everything in me. Yeah. You're asking what guests I want on. I'm like, no, who do I want to sponsor the show? That's my, I can name those off quickly. Target number one for sure.
I'm looking forward to when that happens.
Thank you.
What books other than the Ramsey Personality books, what books that have you read that have made a great impact on you that you give away often?
I love The Ideal Team Player by Patrick Lencioni. He talks about a great team player is hungry, humble, and smart. All three of those things. And smart is not intelligence. It's more people smart. And it's just so true. And it's so simple. And it's a short book. It's a quick read. But it is so good.
If you listen to podcasts, what are the top one or two that you listen to on a consistent basis?
I love How I Built This. I'll dabble in, Jamie Ivey has one called The Happy Hour. So I look through the guests and if there's like an interesting guest. And my friend Annie F. Downs has one as well. So I'll listen to hers too.
Yeah, I haven't seen her. I've seen you guys post about her. So I need to catch
Yeah, up. She's so fun. She's great.
Yeah. Where was I? What is the greatest challenge you're facing right now? It could be personal or professional.
The greatest challenge right now. I would say I have like 3 to 4 exciting work stuff coming up. And not to like give away any secrets. I don't think there's any secrets, but we're going to have a baby number 3 at some point too. So yeah. So there's like this, I'm not pregnant.
But okay.
This girl sitting with me at the interview, she like looked at me, she's like, what? No, I'm not pregnant.
Okay.
But it's going to be kind of, I mean, like we definitely want number 3. So it's that kind of back to that life balance of like, okay, where does a baby fit? Or I should say this, where does the work fit in with planning baby number 3? So that's a little bit like I'm like calendarizing my life, which is kind of funny.
But this is random and off topic, but I mean, we have 2 girls as well.
Yeah.
I know you'll be happy either way, but are you hoping for a boy or is Winston, or do you guys care?
You know, because we have 2 girls, we've said that we're probably an all girl family. So we're really? Going.
So you're all right. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I have to emotionally commit. If it's a boy, of course that's exciting. I come from that. I have an older sister, me, and then a younger brother. So like if it'd be the exact same dynamic of my family, which we love Daniel. He's like our little, he's 26, so we still call him little Daniel. Like he's just, so I would love the girls to have a little brother for sure. But we just emotionally committed to being a girl family.
I can emotionally commit to that. But now I have to think through, if we have a boy, he's going to be little, whoever he is. So thanks for planting that seed. You may have answered this with that, but what are you dreaming about right now?
What am I dreaming about? My next book, we're starting to have a few meetings about those coming up. That's a big one right now. And a baby, sure, but not soon enough. I'm sounding like I'm going to have a baby. It's coming. Not now.
Do you have a favorite failure in your life that led to success or that you learned a significant lesson from?
Yes, I had a product that we launched and it was a great product and everyone bought a lot of them, but they were terrible quality and it was a disaster. We had to ship out we had to find a new vendor and ship out other ones to people that had bought them, and people on social media were not happy, which I wouldn't be either if, you know, this product didn't work and broke and all of it. So yeah, it was like a really bad gig for a little while of like, oh my gosh. So it was just learning vendors and learning, you know, kind of a whole new part of consumer products. And it was a hard lesson to learn, but I learned it and will never make those mistakes again. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that.
Love it. Do you have, what is your favorite go-to question to ask leaders or whoever you spend the most time with when you get in a room with someone?
My go-to question. I would say I love to hear people's stories. So I think it's always intriguing to me how people get to where they are because they're always so different. But it's so funny how so many people's stories start off on this funnel and you can watch it go down, 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 down to exactly what they're doing today. And it's like kind of that saying, everything happens for a reason, you know, that whole thing. But it's like, wow, every step they took was leading them to that place. And so I think that's always intriguing to hear.
I love that. In the space that you're in, I'm just curious, what is the greatest, outside of your kids, because that would be obvious, what's the greatest, most worthwhile investment of your time and money right now?
I would say doing the Rachel Cruze show, being able to reach as many people as we are each episode and knowing that the person watching that has things that they can apply to their life today to make it better and doesn't require me to travel across the country to do it. I can do it right here at the office with a great team and get it out for the world to see. So that's for sure. The best use of my time at work right now.
Do you have any unusual habits that enable you to be successful?
Unusual habits. Oh, probably not. I mean, I'll talk to myself. I had an interview today on the show and I was getting ready and my husband called me out. He was like, are you talking to yourself again? I was like, oh yeah. Cause I'll like say questions out loud. Or if I have a new talk, I'll say it out loud in front of the mirror just to like verbalize everything. So I talk to myself.
Hey, I think everyone should. What are 1 or 2 items on your bucket list that are in the top priority in the next couple of years?
bucket list. We're going to be moving homes in probably the next year, and we both would love to build, which that's not everyone's gig, I know, but we both like have an itch to build. And my husband is in real estate, so like he knows that world. So yeah, that would be a bucket list. I don't know if it'll happen this time around, but it would be at some point in our marriage. We really do. We want to build a house. And then I would say the one country I have not been to that I really want to go to is Australia. So one time in my life, I want to be able to go to Australia.
Love it. If you could go back and have coffee with 20-year-old Rachel Cruz, what would you tell her?
I would tell her, 20-year-old, I would say, don't worry. Everything is going to be great. You'll have some hard times, but at the end of the day, you're going to have, at 30 years old, in 10 years, you're going to look back and be like, wow, I really blessed. Have a great life.
And so on the other end of life, when you get to the end of your life, looking back, what do you want your legacy to be? And what would you like your kids to say about your life after you're gone?
I would love people to say that I loved people well, no matter who they were, what they did, anything. I was hearing someone, and I wish I remembered who it was, I can't remember now, talked about their grandparent and how they treated the janitor as nice as they treated the governor because the line of work they're in. And I was like, oh, don't you just love, like I hear that, I'm like, that is exactly the person I want to be and the person I hope I am. So that for sure.
Anything else you want to leave leaders with today?
I would say fight the good fight because leadership is hard. It's not for everyone. If it was easy, everyone would do it. And so you're in a position of influence and you're able to lead people. So do it well with a little bit of grit.
I love it. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time today, Rachel. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to our interview with Rachel Cruz. I hope that you enjoyed it. You can find ways to connect with her and links to everything that we discussed in the show notes at l3leadership.org/episode201. I also want to thank our sponsor, Henny Jewelers. They're a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny. My wife, Laura, and I got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers, and we just love them as an organization. Not only do they have great jewelry, but they also invest in people. In fact, they give every engaged couple a copy of a book that helps them prepare for marriage, and we just love that about them. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out HennyJewelers.com. I also want to encourage you to sign up for our email list to stay up to date with everything we're doing here at L3 Leadership. If you'd like to do that, just simply go to our website and sign up for that, and you will start getting emails on a weekly basis keeping you up to date with everything that we're doing. As always, I like to end with a quote, and I will quote Walt Disney today. He said this, he said, "Do what you do so well that those who see you do what you do are going to come back to see you do it again and tell others that they should see you do what you do." I love that. Do what you do so well. Get after it. Do everything with excellence. Thanks again for listening to the L3 Leadership Podcast. My wife, Laura, and I appreciate you so much, and we will talk to you next episode.